1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll finish this chapter, Lord willing, today. Glory in Christ, not in men, though I won't dwell on that a ton until the end of the message. So much of the message deals with wisdom of the world versus wisdom of God. Remember last Sunday night, we spent some time talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And good discussion, love the discussion, keep it coming. So let's read verse 18 to the end of the chapter. God, speaking to this young church, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Just walk through this passage. First thing I see in verse 18, he says, let no man deceive himself. I emphasize the himself, and this is so important. You can fool you. I can fool me. So many people will ask me, or not many people ask me anymore, but usually when people ask you a question, they're looking for you to confirm what they want to do. Versus, they want to ask you to see, what does God say? Really, when somebody asks us something, it'd be way better to say, well, here's what I would do, and here's why I would do it. Sometimes you point to principles of Scripture. Sometimes you point to commands of Scripture, right? So, you know, I take people back many times. I'd like to just know what God thinks about things, right? So I can take them back to the Levitical law. I'm not saying that we are Israel and under that Levitical law, but it gives us some perspective of what God thinks about things, right? So I say, well, here's what he thinks about this particular thing, if you'd like my thoughts on that. But let no man deceive himself. How do we do that? Look at verse 18. He says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world. How do we deceive ourselves? By being wise in this world. What does he say? He gives the solution. He says this, look at verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. The solution, humble yourself and become a fool in the world's eyes. And so I'm going to do something a little differently today, and maybe it's because I was torn what message I was going to preach on New Year's Eve. But I also thought it might be fitting here. I was going to potentially go, and I'm not going to preach a whole message. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm not putting it on the screen, so look up in your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And so here's what I'm going to do. I know you're thinking, it's 27 verses. I'm going to walk through it as quickly as possible. I'm just going to walk through this. Here's what I'm doing. The Bible says, let no man deceive himself. And so I will tell you, how do we avoid deceiving ourselves? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'm going to walk through Proverbs chapter 4. I could have picked other chapters. I had just been studying this a little bit recently. And I'm just going to walk through it, because here's what I want you to grasp today. You don't want to deceive yourself. You don't want to have the wisdom of the world. Then what you need is the wisdom of God. Proverbs, 31 chapters. It is an amazing book I'm trying to figure out how I'll preach it. But I'm going to walk through all of Proverbs 4, and I just want you guys to be in awe of God's instruction. It's super practical. What do I mean by practical? It helps you with daily living, right? What I preached this morning is kind of big picture, and then you kind of go and you say, well, how do I get this fire for Christ lit? I'm convinced it's still in His Word, right? Let's just walk through Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to give commentary, but all I want you to see, I want your appetite to be wet, that you would say, wow, Proverbs is an interesting book. I'm feeling like I need wisdom. I'm afraid I have too much wisdom of the world. You need the book of Proverbs. You need God's Word. And Proverbs is super duper interesting. Right? So there's harder passages in the Bible. None of the Bible is boring. But some of it might appear so. Every once in a while, right? But it's not. But it's Proverbs is just good. Let's just walk through chapter 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. I'll probably make more comments than I want. Dads, you're here to guide your children and give them understanding. And not all dads are good dads, but this is God set up the family, moms, dads, and children. And he says, hear ye children the instruction of a father. If you have a godly father, listen to him. He's not always right, but listen to him. He says, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son. And this is, you know, most likely Solomon. I'm still speaking here. And he says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And that would be Bathsheba. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forget her not. That's wisdom. The Bible personifies wisdom in the female gender. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. It's this. Wisdom. You want wisdom? Ask God for wisdom. Wisdom doesn't come by gray hairs. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally or generously. And so he says, get wisdom, verse 5, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Remember, we talked about this, and it was from Todd. I loved it, where when you understand that, Jesus is wisdom. Remember, we saw that in 1 Corinthians? Remember, I used this particular verse. Jesus is the principal thing. You want wisdom, it's all in Christ. Just look if you just replace wisdom with Jesus is the principal thing, therefore get Jesus. With all thy getting, get understanding. It's all through Christ. But wisdom, you want wisdom, it's all in Christ. Look at verse 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Understand this. It's so emphasized because the wisdom of the world is the exact opposite of the wisdom of the Bible. Remember that division we talked about this morning? If you promote wisdom of the world, you will be attacked. That's why you have to be so steadfast and focused and say, I want God's wisdom, no matter what people say, think, or how they respond. Look at verse 9. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. I was just telling some folks today, I just noticed a new measurement on my Fitbit, right? And so and Todd's telling me that the Chinese are taking all this data in, and I'll tell you this, they must be impressed. And, and so it's all out there. I guess you guys could get it, find out what my sitting heart rate is, but it has this stress measure, right? And so I actually went back, and I didn't know I was being measured for stress. And I told Deb, I said, this is when you, no, I didn't know. But it is, I went back and I looked, and literally, God's word is true. It's this. Do you know when my stress was the lowest? When I was in South Africa. I had never had 80s before. It was just a good time. I love preaching. I love being with God's people. And it was so interesting. And the reason I bring that up is when we do things God's way. So my, you know, the South Africa, it was sort of like a bubble, right, where you're so involved in ministry and every moment, every minute. And it reflected on my health. And this little watch said, you're doing better. Keep it up. And when we serve the Lord, it says it's health to our bones and strength to our navel. Crazy. My watch picked up on that, right? And so I just tell you this, it's, look at this, in verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver thee. If you follow God's instruction, you will be blessed, and you, none of us are going to get to heaven and go, oh, I wish I wouldn't have been so wise. Right? Verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. Dads, this is your job, is to teach your children. I've told you this. One of my great regrets with our kids, we had devotions and all of that, but I never taught them the Bible like I teach when I have Bible studies today. I just didn't. I regret that. And oh, mom, oh, dad, teach your kids. Verse 11, I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. Again, it's you don't want to have pressure. You don't want to be pressed. Look at this. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. You want the way of true honor and joy. It's with God's word. Take fast hold of instruction. Verse 13, let her not go. Keep her, for she is life. Now look, it's just practical instruction. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. You enter into the path of the wicked, you'll be walking with the wicked. That's what it means. Right? Stay away from the wicked. I mean, if you walk with the wicked, you will soon be wicked. Just look at it. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. You know that? You know it's hard? Hard to say no. Because you don't want to look like some sissy boy. Right? I don't know what girls go through, right? But it's you know, guys like, hey, you coming with us? No. I just drink Diet Coke, you know. And after a while, you'll get over it. But pressure, I'm telling you, right? That's the straightening. That's the press. He says, verse 15, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. I want you to know this. You can't get on the path of the wicked if you don't pass by it. You know what we do? A little temptation there. You know, we make it day one. We make it day one, and then we're like, day two. Right? If you don't pass by it, you can't get on the path, right? That's just the Bible. Tell me all the time, if your phone's killing you, kill your phone. You don't need a phone. I used to say all the time, only doctors and pastors need phone. You know what? I don't need a phone. Call my wife. And it is, I'll tell you this, whatever's getting in your way, get rid of it. The Bible says cut off your hand. Easier to get rid of a phone, I think. Right? Whatever gets in your way of honoring Christ, you'll wish you had done it. This is just good instruction, right? Look at verse 15. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Pass not the way of the wicked. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. It is so crazy. It's sinners are only satisfied if they get you to sin because it makes them feel better about themselves. They don't know that's what they're doing. I promise you, they don't wake up and go, oh, I'm going to have to cause Steve to sin. But that's what they're doing. We need to love the lost, love the world, but boy, we better not walk their path. Look at verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Understand this, that's all they eat, drink, and sleep is sin. That's all the lost know. We shouldn't be surprised when the lost act like lost people. We should love them, but I'll tell you this, they shouldn't be your best buddies. Just say this, man, I'd love to hang out with you. I've got 10 o'clock on Sunday, I'm available, 11 o'clock on Sunday, and then Sunday night at 6, except for the first Sunday of the month, why don't you come to lunch with me? And say, on Wednesday night, 7:15, we are going to have a ball. They'll lose you, you don't have to lose them. Say, I'd like to hang out with you 4 times a week, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Right? I mean, Luis is desperate for a friend. He doesn't want to be here. But he's friends with Alex, right? So this is Alex's demand, right? I'm just teasing. It's good. See, a good friend will try to bring you in to help you understand the truth, right? Look at verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. This is, look at verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They don't understand this. The Bible is like secret information. The world doesn't know it. We know this, and the world doesn't know at what they stumble. They don't. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. And so here's what I tell you to do. Don't shut off the preacher. Don't shut off the preacher. I know this. I know this. You know, and I'll highlight it, and then Rob will never give me any direct feedback anymore. But it's like my spirit. I know this. It's the number one thing that I worry about all the time. Will my spirit make you shut down? But oh, your rear end will still be there. You won't listen to me because my spirit gets in the way. I beg you, listen to my words and pray for me to have a better spirit. I want to be more gentle. I want to be more kind. But the devil wins if you shut out a preacher. See if you can get over it. If you can't, you need to find a new church. That's not me trying to get rid of you. You want to go to church so you can hear the preacher. You follow me? That's not me trying to get rid of you. It is this. Just hear my words and pray for me. If I've offended you, come and tell me. Yeah, I mean, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Right, not on Sunday or Wednesday night, you know, right before I preach. Hey, preacher, let me tell you something. Oh, no. I try to tell you that if that's the only time you can, go ahead. I can handle it, probably. I doubt myself so many times. Okay, look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. I love this. Don does something that I know others have done. He writes Bible verses in a dry erase marker on a mirror. So if Don's wrong, he says dry erase will come off of a mirror. If not, Don will replace it. It's just good. You know what, Don? Did you know this? You're listening to verse 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Putting them on your mirror, right? I mean, Don spends hours grooming. And you can tell. And he needs a few more hours. But now, I love that, Don. It's literally, you didn't know it was a Bible principle. It's this. Keep God's word in front of you. You know why? The world is in front of you. The worldly wisdom, all the media impressions, they can't even count them anymore. How many times you've been being bombarded with the message of the world? It's crazy. How many times are we being bombarded with God's truth? Not very often. That's why we have to be disciplined. Look at verse 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. It's healthy. It'd be interesting. I'm going to tell you what my stress score is Wednesday from today. I hope it's good. Keep thy heart with all diligence. It's all a matter of the heart right here. Remember this. This is so important. You can do everything externally right. And if this isn't right, nothing matters. Look at this. Keep thy heart. Keep coming to church, but it's a matter of the heart. You should be concerned if you're sitting here, but your heart's a mile away. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything flows from the heart. What is it that you love? What is it that is the seat of your compassion, seat of your emotions, your love? It's all the heart. And look at this. So practical. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let me tell you, some new believers, I don't try to overemphasize this, but you know you ought to stop cussing. Cussing hurts you. Does God tell us to put away a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee? Froward mouth would be cussing. Perverse lips would be inappropriate things. It's this. God knows this. What you talk about, what you speak of, it says, out of the mouth proceedeth the things of the heart, but it also is this. What you say matters. What comes out of your mouth matters. That's why I say, praise the Lord, sing unto him. You're cussing, telling dirty jokes, it's hurting you, and you think you're smarter than God. I think I'm smarter than God. There's no place for it. That's what the Bible, this is just wisdom. You can ignore it. What's the opposite of wisdom? Foolishness. Look at verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. This is super practical. All the men say, let me help you with this. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You know, guys, young guys, when you're driving, she ain't looking at you. Just checking to see if she is. I knew you would be. You know, you're looking this way and that way. You know, the Bible says, look straight on. I love the next verse. Some of you have heard me say this. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of thy feet. Steve, I want to, $64,000 question. If I ponder the path of my feet, where are my eyes? Down. Remember, I parked at the Riverfront Stadium, Riverfront Stadium, before they blew it up, because it was the cheapest. Then I learned you could park in Mount Adams, and it's free. Occasional busted window, but insurance covered that. But so I learned this. I'm just telling you, I wanted to discipline my heart, wanted to discipline my mind. And I'm just going to be straight. When you walk, you see things. And you know what I want? I've never lusted after concrete. You know what I started doing? I didn't care what people thought. I literally took this verse and I said, I'm going to ponder the path of my feet. I'm not going to look left, right, and I'm just going to ponder the path of my feet. That's practical. You struggling with your eyes? You know what I tell you to do? Ponder the path of your feet. Stop looking around. Stop seeing what you might see. You know, I love winter, right? It's cold and people put more clothing on. But ponder the path of your feet. Stay away from the paths that will cause you difficulty. You follow me? If that isn't literally what I think it's saying, look, look, verse 25, let thine eyes look, look right on. Stop looking around. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. It's this. Have a plan. Where are you going today? Let all thy ways be established. I met so many people in South Africa and I said, hey, what are you doing today? Meet them on the road. They go, oh, I don't know. I said, just looking for some alcohol and maybe a little sex. I probably shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. A little physical relations. I was pretty blunt on the street. Sorry. Okay. It came out. I know. Man, I'm losing it in the last few weeks. And, okay. Front row scholars have heart attacks. I got a side Fitbit. Their heart rate went up to 165. 165. But you know what they all said? Yeah. I said, all it's going to lead to is trouble. You don't have a plan? The devil has a plan. Your ways aren't established? You don't have a plan? Let me tell you what. The Bible, you know, idleness of time will destroy you. You don't have a plan. What's your plan this week? What's your plan for 2026? What's your plan for idle time? How are you going to make things eternal? If you don't establish your ways and you don't have a plan, the devil will, and you'll find, and it doesn't have to be deep, dark things. It could just be you could waste your entire 2026 and not have done anything that is deep, dark, and grossly sinful, but it's you've wasted your time because we're supposed to be here for the cause of Christ. If you don't establish your ways, you'll waste your ways. And then verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. It is literally talking, make sure you know where your feet are going. Your feet go to the wrong place, you'll do the wrong things. Turn back to 1 Corinthians. I take you there. And the only reason I brought you to, and I went through it quickly, didn't do it justice. But here's what I tell you to do. It's this. I didn't want to preach a message that said, worldly wisdom, bad. Be godly. If you're wondering what it is, search the scriptures. Proverbs, an amazing book. Love it. Drink it. Swallow it. The younger you are, the better. It's still a good book for old people. Some of you. I pointed to me to make them feel better. And but I want you to know this. Look, wisdom of the world. Now, So, full disclosure. ChatGPT. So here's what I told ChatGPT. I'm not going to put it on the, because it's too much. ChatGPT, here's what I told ChatGPT. I said, give me 50 thoughts of the world that is against Scripture, and give me the Scripture reference. I'm going to give you 25. Listen to these. So it was better than me sitting around going, yeah. ChatGPT is I think it must be Baptist. just kidding. Here's wisdom of the world. Follow your heart. The heart is desperate of the wicked. Who can know it? Truth is relative. Truth is not relative. Truth is fixed. Look out for yourself first. Now the Bible said, esteem others better than yourself. Success equals... If it feels good, do it. This is all ChatGPT. You are enough. All paths lead to God. Boy, that's what the world believes. Isn't that worldly wisdom? Don't you worry about me. Knowledge alone brings enlightenment. It's not. It's knowledge of Christ. happiness is the highest goal. It's not. God is interested in your happiness, but that's not the goal. Science makes God unnecessary. Super popular, right? Love means affirming everything. No, sometimes love speaks the truth, but you do speak the truth in love. Judge nothing. Don't get in the car then if you can't have discernment. All right? And religion is a crutch. Praise the Lord, I need a crutch. It's not about religion, it's about Christ. I'm telling you this, I'm limping sometimes spiritually, and I'm glad I can lean on Christ. So you know they have half-truths. Suffering means God has failed. Not at all. You define your own identity. Faith must submit to reason alone. It's not blind faith, right? Because later it says faith is blind. It's not that. Faith must submit to reason. Biblical faith is reasonable. That's what I would say. The end justifies the means. What I mean by that, as long as we get a good result, doesn't matter how we get it. Nope, that's not true. Public opinion determines truth. False. Self-love is the solution. False. God wants you to be comfortable. False. He's not wanting you to be miserable, but his objective isn't comfort. This is, God's objective is his glory. Now that is so difficult for people to swallow because it makes God sound like an egotist, right? God is not an egotist. He demands full submission and full attention, and he deserves it, and that's the best thing for us. And he's not an egotist. If I demanded full attention and full worship, I would be an egotist, but God's not. But the world views it from worldly wisdom. Earth is all there is, false. Tolerance means no correction. Faith is a private matter. And death is the end. That's worldly wisdom. If you want that, I can send that to you. And it's ChatGPT. No, I'm just kidding. I've got it on a document. I'll send it to you. That's how I used that. I was kind of amazed. That is how the world thinks. And I want you to know that everything the world does has their philosophy in it. Every commercial, every social media, they may not declare it that clearly, but when you're lost, all you think like is a lost person. Who are you listening to? You will have worldly wisdom, and you will think like the world if that's what you're putting into your mind, into your eyes, into your ears. That's where worldly wisdom comes from. Worldly wisdom isn't always, that's so wicked, you know, from the way, you know, some dark thing. Worldly wisdom never seeks God. That's what it's all about. And so, wisdom of the world, it's foolishness with God. Turn over just real quickly. I'm not that far from a close, but further than you want. Romans chapter 1. Because look at this in verse 19. Look at this in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Romans 1 is one of the best places. I'm just going to read four verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, just two books to the left if you're wondering. It's one book to the left. Sorry. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says that because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And that giving up, I think I've explained that, just I'll do it one more time. It's not God causing it, but you understand this. The reason the world isn't as bad as it could be, God. He restrains people. The reason that you haven't done some things, God restrains you. And then the blessing is, as a believer, I have the Holy Spirit living within me, and it's a terrible testimony. When I sin, I have not only overcome the restraining of God, but I've quenched the Holy Spirit that now lives in me. For me to sin as a Christian is far worse than for a lost person to sin. Do you understand that? And so when he gives them up, he says, fine, I'll let you do what you want to do. And that's the worst thing God could ever do. And so look at this in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 3. He said, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And then it says in verse 20, it says, the wisdom of the world is vain. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Here's the problem. Most people find out the world was wrong when they are old and almost dead. And then they become jaded because they think, you can't trust anybody. You know, that's why I love the Bible. You've got to admit, the Bible, you know, maybe you don't like the way I preach it. I'm not saying, you guys are super kind to me. I'm just saying, some people don't like the way I preach it. And that's why they're not here. But it is, the Bible's pretty independent. Read it. You want to know who God is. You want to know what he thinks. You want to know what our need is. If you follow, I tell people this all the time, if you're lost and you follow the principles of God's word, you'll benefit. Won't get you to heaven, but you'll benefit. The wisdom of the world, vain and emptiness. Vain and emptiness. And look, a lot of old men forget and they blow it. You following me? But I want to tell you, don't have to learn from the school of hard knocks. Don't ignore God and then get all caught up in just what excites you. That's why you need the fire of Christ in your heart. Wisdom of the world, foolishness with God, and it's vain, just empty. And sometimes it takes 20, 30 years for you to figure that out. Just listen to people that have been around that that believe in the Bible. Right? And then finally it says, do not glory in men. Look at verse 21. He says, therefore, I've said all this. And that's why the title of my message, I've said all this. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. And so it was as though, because look at verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or all things present or things to come, all are yours. It's in essence, it's dealing with who are you going to put your identity in? And the church at Corinth, they were thinking this, my identity's in Paul. My identity's in Peter or Cephas. My identity's in Apollos. And he is Apollos. Apollos apparently would have been a way better preacher than Paul from just an oration perspective. And so he was considered a great speaker. It's this, who are you going to have your identity in? He says this, look, he gives all the options. He says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, you're going to get your identity from the world? Or life or death, you're going to get your identity from just life? Or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ and Christ is God. All things are ours. He says this, what are you worried about? What are you worried about? You have everything. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we have everything. Why are we being drawn away? Because we have forgotten that we are Christ's and Christ is God's. You see, that's what we forget. I will tell you, I love these passages. Look, I preach. I feel just hopscotch sometimes as a preacher. I love the Bible, and preaching is so different than reading and studying it. This is it. I need to remember every day I'm Christ, and Christ is God's, and that's what matters. There's no greater thing I could ponder. I am Christ's. Everything that matters is about Jesus Christ. I am Christ, and Christ is God's. Really, it removes all the distractions. I am Christ, and Christ is God. It's God's, and everything is mine. I'm an heir of the King. It's not just theoretical. You understand, everything will be ours because of Christ. Wisdom of the world, we get our eyes off of Christ. Wisdom of the world, we have put our identity with the world. Wisdom of the world, it's when we have put our identity in anything else. Don't put your identity in Hope Baptist Church. Don't put your identity in your family. Don't put your identity in anything but Christ. You're all going to die. I'm going to die one day. All that matters is Christ. glory in Christ, not in men. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray you'll give us an appetite, Father, that